from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's my mom's favorite song. It is a pleasure to welcome Amara Enya to studio, in studio here. We're talking to all the mayoral candidates, and I would say, and I'm pretty confident in saying this, she has more buzz than anybody right now.
Dr. Amara Enya, the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Austin, she has run for mayor before. She has also been an advocate and an educator on the west side of Chicago, and she is in studio. Dr. Enya, thanks for being here.
It is awesome to be here.
So, first off, you've run for mayor before. You ran I think it was the last campaign. What about this campaign is different than running before?
Well, a lot of it feels different. One is, I think there's a lot that happened nationally to really change the tone in Chicago, where people actually believe that things can be different. Much of that is from what happened in the presidential election, even what happened in the gubernatorial here in the state. And so the notion of challenging the status quo and actually changing Chicago feels much more tangible and much more real to Chicagoans than it did 4 years ago. What that means for us is the same message that we had when we started 4 years ago, it's essentially the same. The issues in Chicago, the need to challenge the status quo, the need for better leadership. Now it's just that much more relevant, and people, it's really resonating with people in a way that wasn't the case before.
Your passion is admirable, but why do you want the job?
Well, because a lot of talk about the challenge in Chicago, for me, I see opportunities. We do have just a unique opportunity to really move the city in the right direction, but it requires us to be unafraid to do things differently and to do them better. We suffer because we don't innovate as a city. We suffer because we allow messages that divide the city and lead us to believe that the way things are is simply the way things need to be. And if you look around the country, those places that are moving forward, that are gaining population, that are making advances, they are cities that have decided that they are willing to do things out of the box, that they want a different kind of leadership than what we've had in the past. In Chicago, we've been weighed down, for example, by corruption.
Right.
It costs us in terms of how the city is perceived, but also it costs us financially. It means we can't do all of the things that we should be able to do because of corruption, because we're not thinking outside the box, because we don't take those ideas that are very present in the city and actually implement them in government.
Well, the unity you talk about, it's absolutely vital for the city to thrive and survive and move forward and do everything that needs to get done. And that's what troubles me about some of the commercials I see some of your opponents running that are focusing on city violence and the umbrella notion that city violence is a black people problem. It's an everybody problem.
Exactly.
And by the way, so is the pension problem in the city. That's
exactly
an everybody problem.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. When we don't address our city's fiscal health, the pensions, everybody suffers for that. Our schools, our businesses, our communities. When we don't address violence, it's not just an issue that affects those on the south side and the west side. It affects us downtown. It affects us on the north side. It actually prevents us from attracting businesses to the city.
Right.
So we are all in this together, and that's our message.
All right, so you know, you're saying you're the candidate for the people, the people's candidate. You know, you're going up against formidable opponents who have legislative experience and leadership experience, people who've run Cook County boards or maybe been chief of staffs in different places. You don't have that experience, so how do you make up for that?
I actually have a lot of that experience. I've gotten state-level legislation passed even when we had a gridlock in Springfield, most recently last year. I've had ordinances that I've been a part of that have actually been passed in city council, many that are still pending. I've been able to work across lines of difference, even with ideological opponents, to get things done. And I think Chicagoans want someone who can work across lines of difference to actually get things done and to move the needle. Our campaign has shown that I can do that even without being in elected office, but that's a testament to the effectiveness once becoming mayor of the city.
Yeah, and maybe people slapping you with you don't have enough experience is a positive. The thing that you've definitely captured is the ear of youth and the buzz of younger voters. Now, as you know, the key is to get them to go out and vote, because the cliche is nobody votes if you're under 50 or maybe 40 years old. I don't believe that's true. I believe motivation drives everybody. But how do you appeal to the over 50 crowd if you're going to be pigeonholed as the kids' candidate?
Well, our message resonates with seniors as well as young people, and that's very clear. So I've gotten a lot of seniors who are attracted to the energy, but they also are attracted to the substance of our platform. Everything around education, the city's right. finances, safety, it resonates with them. In the midterm elections, millennials came out to vote in record numbers, unlike anything that's been seen in the last 20, 30 years. So they have demonstrated that not only are they engaged, but they will come out to vote. In fact, they outpaced seniors in voting. So what we're doing is we're able to capture that energy from younger voters, that 18 to 35 contingent, but our platform resonates with seniors as well. And that's how we, that's how we're able to move the ball. And we're targeting not just likely voters, but the 70% of individuals who could have voted but didn't bother to vote in the first, in the last election.
Amara, you're in the headlines today. Chance the Rapper gives you $400,000 for the campaign. That has been the headline of your campaign, your relationship with Chance. He came out early and said you were his candidate. Others have lined up for you as well. Talk about that relationship. What is the relationship between you and Chance, and why do you think it's a winning combination?
Well, it's definitely been an awesome relationship because we have a shared vision. Obviously, Chance has been contributing and sort of walking the walk in Chicago for years before. He's contributed substantively to CPS and to mental health causes in the city. He also has a youth leadership development nonprofit that he's been working on for years. So this is someone with a track record of actually putting their time and energy into the issues. And that's really what makes us work so well, because a lot of my background is just what happens on the ground in communities, not necessarily for press, but because we really care about these issues. So that alignment allows us to really do some great work that is energizing and exciting people who've never been involved in the political process, both young and old. He's also getting perhaps more older listeners and older supporters of his music, I would imagine. So it's
which is a nice thing. But
like Steve Cochran.
That old. But I give him a ton of credit, because just because you have it doesn't mean you have to give it away. Right. And this young man has taken steps to be somebody who cares about the city, the community, and the state in ways that really are beyond his years, as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely.
Sandberg, one before the break, and then you need to hang around with us. I hope you have no place to go here for a couple minutes.
Sure, you got me.
Okay. Amara, I know you decided to run for mayor before our current mayor said that he wasn't going to run for another term. Did that change anything, though, when it changed from running against him, per se, and then just a bunch of all new people prospects? Anything in your platform?
It actually didn't, because we had always been the campaign of ideas and vision. And so we were running from the beginning to push our platform and to push that vision, regardless of who was in the running or not. So when the mayor said he wasn't running again, it was like, OK, well, that's fine. But we're still going to focus on pushing our vision and pushing our message.
We're going to come back and talk more in a second. Is there a website for the campaign?
AmaraEnya.com.
I'm going to ask you something you never get asked. Spell it, please.
AmaraEnya.
And I know from previous Googles, if you don't get her name spelled quite right in the search, it'll find it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're not overrun with a lot of Amara Enyas confusing you. Yes. More in a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Amara Enya is here, and she would like to be the next mayor of Chicago. There's something that came out, I don't know, yesterday, the day before, I was reading a number of things about you, but you talk about a social investment. Explain what that means to you and to the city.
Your
microphone, there you go.
Sure, so when I talk about investment, I talk about the city's priorities, and I also talk often about this notion of equity and investing in human capital, investing in our people. For so long, the city's investment strategy has been to invest in the downtown area because that's where all the action is, and that somehow it will trickle out to the neighborhoods. Well, what we found is that the neighborhoods have really declined in many parts of the city. We've lost population in those parts of the city because we have not invested in those areas.
Right.
So the way that you address that is you have to direct investment to those very neighborhoods. And that's economic investment. It means investing in our schools. It means investing in workforce capacity so that people have jobs in those areas of the city, because that is the way that we keep our population here. It's the way that we actually create a stronger economy with more people plugged in. And we can shore up our revenue because we don't have people leaving the city because their neighborhoods have been
closed. But how do you do both? Because I would think that that has been an economic strategy by the past mayors, and including the mayor that's in the office this now. Downtown, let it spread out. But how do you change that? If you become mayor, you'd have to change that. And there's a lot of players that are not going to like that, especially some of the downtown businesses and economic drivers. So how do you do that? How can you do both? Make sure that the downtown is taken care of and the neighborhoods are getting their share.
Well, you have to understand what the needs are. And so because of my background working in the business sector, specifically in the small business sector, but locally and statewide, you know what the needs of that sector are. And so when you talk to individuals, they recognize that having a high quality labor force is absolutely essential for their corporation. They also recognize that having a safe neighborhoods across the city is essential for their company, especially if they're going to locate here. They know that having a quality education system is necessary to have people that they can pipeline into their company. Those are the needs. That is directly tied to the health of our neighborhoods. Private investment follows the lead of the public. So when private investors' companies see that the city is investing in these neighborhoods, then their investment follows. The Department of Planning's stated philosophy was that they would invest in the Central Business District. That was when I worked in government. They stated that explicitly. So you have to be just as explicit to say that we are going to direct these financial resources, direct investment from the private sector to these neighborhoods, because that's where we have not done it for quite some time, and because it's in the interest of our overall economy.
Is there a market for privatizing public stuff like we've done in the past, even no matter how much we screwed up the bridge and how much we screwed up the parking meters and various other things? Is there a way to do that and create revenue?
I think that has run its course. I think we've seen from privatization deal after deal that the city actually loses out because the allegiance and the revenue largely flows to the private actor, and yet the city is still left holding the bag, even as services in some instances erode for taxpayers. So that was a trend that unfortunately Chicago was leading nationally.
Tried it
and failed. And many municipalities across the country copied Chicago's privatization trend, and they are still struggling financially, much as we are.
We got less than a minute here.
I was just going to, we were talking earlier about how we're wondering who's going to get behind the Latino candidate in the, the black candidate, the white candidate. How do you not be pigeonholed as just a black or those area candidate for who the white suburban mom in Lincoln Park? Like, what can you say to her?
Yes. So what's absolutely incredible about our campaign is the diversity of our support. So we get so much love on the northwest side, on the north side, on the south side, southwest side. And myself, I've always been a bridge builder. Part of that is coming from an immigrant background. I am a Spanish speaker. I've lived and worked in Central and South America. I work in those neighborhoods in the city across Chicago. And so as a bridge builder, you learn to work across lines of difference, and we don't pigeonhole ourselves. So we have just as much relevancy and support and enthusiasm in the black neighborhoods in Chicago as we have in white neighborhoods, in Asian and Pacific Islander neighborhoods, in Latino neighborhoods. And that's what characterizes our campaign and actually sets it apart from many of these other candidates.
Website one more time.
AMARAENYIA, AmaraEnya.com.
Really nice to have you. I hope you'll come back.
Fantastic. I'd love to.
Okay, great to see you.